Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at amazon.com/back to school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.
Straight out of Austin, Texas, it's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
Yes, it is On Second Thought, episode 95, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light. Cedric Golden here with the Kirk Bowles machine, a.k.a. the Duck.
What'd it be, man?
Right here in the dungeon, speaking Ebonics. I love it. We've got a nice show for you today. San Antonio Express News beat writer Jeff McDonald's going to talk to us a little bit about the Kawhi Gate in San Antonio entering Game 3 tonight. But first, oh, my God, this weekend, Duck, your favorite event. I know you've done Super Bowls, Final Fours. You were at the Masters.
Olympics.
The Olympics.
Tour de France. But nothing gets me more juiced up than this.
Oh, my gosh. Texas orange-white game. Man, it just seems like yesterday we were at the orange-white game. It gets here fast.
I wish it was yesterday, meaning it was in the past. But
it's been
a big week for me.
Why are you taking shots?
Well, I had a colonoscopy this week, and I get to cover a spring football game.
I don't think it gets any better than that.
Easy for you to say.
I can't say
it. So what's worse? What's worse, colonoscopy or watching spring football?
That's an easy one, dog.
Colonoscopy.
Colo.
Worse?
No, you go to sleep on a colo, and then you wake up like 5 seconds later.
Yeah,
and
you've
had
you
one.
Who's to say I won't go to sleep during the spring game?
Why are you being so negative?
It's like I said before. You have two objectives in the spring game. Don't get anybody hurt, and two, don't get anybody hurt.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I should get off that soapbox.
I'm going to tell you, you should trade places with me, have some real problems.
What's that?
I was at a spring game last week, the Maroon White game in College Station.
And you're going to another?
And I'm going to another
one. What's the matter with
you? At BKR, because I just can't get enough.
Oh, my God.
What's that song, I Just Can't Get Enough?
You're crazy.
So
what did the Aggies look like? They got Aggies world beaters?
The Aggies looked okay. The defense going to need some work. Mm-hmm. Elko's got his work cut out for
him.
They
always do need some work.
But it's the SEC, and if you can stop the run, you're going to be competitive. I wonder if Nick Starkel is good enough. I think he is.
I think he's pretty good.
If he was a Big 12 quarterback, I'd worry a little bit
more.
Yeah,
he's not special.
Because you're more offensively challenged with these offenses. But I think he could be that A.J. McCarron type. Maybe not as good, but a caretaker type. Limit the turnovers. I think he's better than Kellen Mond, who did not play badly.
No, he was like 19 to 26. I watched a little bit of it on the telly. And, he's got some talent. He's such a great athlete. And how about that tight end? What's his name?
Sternberger, yeah.
JUCO guy. He's
stud.
The real deal.
He's a stud horse. Just reminds me of Texas Longhorns because they always have a good tight end to throw to.
They do?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they haven't had a good tight end in 3 years.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they had Becht, Blaine Irby.
They haven't had a good tight end.
Some great tight ends.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's talk about the Horns. We're going to walk in there.
Uh-huh.
First of all, it's at nighttime. I don't know why Tom did that.
Well,
I don't know why Tom did that.
It's at nighttime, and I hear we're not going to be able to talk to the players.
Yeah, so, you know.
Oh, really?
That's just.
Aren't you promoting your program?
Not very well, because
I don't understand
we should
that
be
at
able
all.
To talk to a couple of the seniors. Their last spring game.
Just seniors?
That's fine. Just give us a couple of guys.
What are you afraid of? I know they got to sign autographs. It's for the fans. It's not for us. I understand that. But, you know, 85 players have to be signing autographs. You can't spare five or six to talk to the media.
Especially when we're not going to get to talk to them again for a few months.
A few?
Yeah.
Yeah, a long time.
So, yeah. So, listening to Tom tell us stuff and,
all right, well,
and every other sentence. Well, I got to look at the
film. All
right,
I'll ask you two questions. What's the best thing that's come out of spring so far? What's the worst thing that's come out of spring so far?
Best thing come out of spring is no one's been seriously hurt.
Well,
that's a
like
big deal. That's
all
a
right,
big deal.
Get rid of that. What's the best development that's come out?
I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't been around. They let us watch 15 minutes of stretching, mm-hmm. basically, and then when the good stuff starts, we got to leave. So I haven't
yeah.
gone over there. And I know Danny Davis and Brian have been there. I know a couple of practices. Tom wasn't happy with ball security. The fact that Sam Ellinger's out there getting some experiences cannot hurt. Because I believe in my heart that that's who Tom wants to be the quarterback, because he likes that alpha dog mentality, even though there's been some red zone mm-hmm. Shenanigans, to say the least, with Sam. But that would probably be atop the list. I when I go in there Saturday, I want to look and see what this defense is looking like, losing a Puna Ford, losing a Malik Jefferson, Holton Hill, Deshaun Elliott, losing the best players on that defense. Are they going to be ready for prime time? That's what I'm looking for.
Well, I think the best thing is simple. I think it's the young defensive backs that came in at midterm. B.J. Foster, Anthony Cook, Stearns. I think they're athletic. I think they'll be on the field from the get-go. And even though they've lost a ton of experience with the Holton Hills and Deshaun Elliott, P.J. Locke hadn't played much, I think the young DBs have been the best thing about it. I think the worst thing is the running backs. I think they don't have that difference maker. I think Daniel Young is good. He's, kind of a bulldozer type. He's not special. Tristan Thompson, Kirk Johnson can't get healthy. I mean, they moved a linebacker
to running back. Tristan Thompson.
Daniel Young.
You said Tristan Thompson.
Houston. Tristan Houston.
Yeah,
see, I got NBA on the brain.
That's Khloe Kardashian's baby daddy.
I know. I got NBA on the brain. I should have instead of spring football.
At least he's a Longhorn.
But I don't think they have a special running back.
They haven't in a while.
And I think the secondary bodes well. I think they're going to have a great secondary the next 2, 3, 4 years with the recruits that Tom Herman brought in. So, to me, that's the best and the worst of the spring by far.
What are you looking for on this offense besides needing a bell cow and running back? I really was disappointed in the receiving corps last year.
Oh, it was a huge disappointment.
You called them the greatest thing since sliced bread, the most talented receiving mm-hmm. corps in Texas Longhorn history, and there are some no-shows. When you look at the numbers, Armonte Foreman feuded with the coaching staff for most of the year. Colin Johnson went away at key moments. Who do you think is going to step up mm-hmm. this year for that
receiver? It's got to be Colin Johnson.
It's got to be. If it's not Colin, who could it be? Because he's got the measurables.
But I would put a lot of that also on the quarterbacks, because the quarterbacks held back the development of these receivers, because there was no consistency from either quarterback. And I think if you don't have great quarterback play, you're not going to have good to great wide receiver play. I don't know. It worries me a little bit, for the future, because I'm not sure where this offense is, because I don't see a dynamic playmaker yet. Do you?
No, I do not. Sam Ellinger is pretty dynamic, but he can be dynamic in the wrong way.
He's not a great passer yet.
He's not a great passer, but he's a playmaker. And sometimes he makes good plays, sometimes he makes bad plays. But you don't have a guy on this team where you go, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing.
I think, little Jordan Humphrey's probably my favorite receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll probably be the bell cow among other receivers. I think Gerard Hurd, he could end up at running back for all I know. But he's had a bit role.
He's not a running back. He won't
but
get
I think this is going to be a defensive team next year.
That scares me, Doug. That scares me. It's the Big 12, Doug.
It is.
You say this is a defensive team, and it's the Big 12. You say this is a defensive team that just lost Malik Jefferson and Puna Ford
mm-hmm.
and Holton Hill and Deshaun Elliott.
Right.
That tells me that you're looking at another 7-6. I don't think they're going to shut down anybody losing that kind of mm-hmm. talent, because the talent that's going to be playing a lot this season is young, inexperienced
talent.
They're
going to make mistakes, especially in this league. No, I think it's you know, without having seen the spring, and obviously August isn't here yet, you know, it looks like a 7-9 win team. You know, I mean, they lose Michael Dixon, the best punter maybe in school history. You know, he and Russell Erksleben.
There you go.
He's gone.
Short list.
I don't know how many games Michael Dixon won, but I know how many he helped them win.
He didn't lose any.
They won the field position battle every Saturday because of him. And those guys don't grow on trees. Now, their field goal kickers were up and down all year long, so you got to figure they got the kid from Lake Travis. That'll be better. But, you know, like I said, I don't see that dynamic quarterback yet. I don't think there's a dynamic receiver or running back. And you got to have that in the Big 12.
Well, we're talking about football, but the news comes over, the big $140 million expansion plan
you
for DKR.
You excited about that? You excited?
Just them throwing more money. I understand it. Football is about recruiting and spending big money to attract name recruits and to raise ticket prices and
get
fans excited.
I think it's dangerous.
I think it's dangerous when you're not back yet.
And you're dangerous because if you grow that capacity – well over 104 or whatever it is now. You get up to 110 or stuff like that.
Like the big house.
And you don't win consistently.
Then it's a cavern.
It is a cavern. And you look at those empty seats, and it could be a negative. And I think college football is declining somewhat just because it's so nice to stay at home. You and I talk about that all the time.
High def.
You know.
Your
it's
own
like,
bathroom.
You know, why fight the crowds? You know, the clear bag policy, and you'd rather be on your phone, and
I mean,
you can switch channels at home.
Yeah,
I
what self-respecting student is going to be able to sneak beer into a game when there's a clear bag policy?
Well, they're not sneaking beer in. They're sneaking other stuff in.
Well, what other stuff are we talking about?
Clear stuff, maybe.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Anyway, we've got one more week. They've got a practice this afternoon, Thursday, and then they got the game on Saturday, and that'll be the end of it. So
you sound like they're going to the electric chair. Oh God! Yeah,
no, you and I are.
Please let that phone ring on the wall. Give me a reprieve. Don't fire up old Sparky.
We need a pardon. We need a pardon from the governor.
Oh my God!
After a week, we'll get that.
It's gonna be fine, Duck.
Let's talk about baseball. Look at the baseball team.
You know what?
Be two
playing,
out of three from
playing
Oklahoma.
Really well.
Hats off to David Pierce.
4-1 4-1 in their first five Big 12 series, and they're first place in the league.
Exactly.
It's been a minute, and we talk about that. And I know you were unable to make it, but Augie Garrido had hit. They had a ceremony for Augie Garrido last week, and it was really nice. But it was the most, man, it was so somber. And here we are a week or so later, and David Pierce has the Longhorns getting it done, 11-4 right now in conference.
Mm-hmm, right.
And looking real good, going to be ranked soon. And
they're ranked now. They're 23rd in one of the polls.
Going to be in the top. I think if they win this, they got New Orleans coming up.
Right.
And they take care of business against New Orleans and look good. They'll move up a little bit. The privateers aren't great, I don't think.
They go to West Virginia. They close the series.
TCU.
Here at TCU.
Uh-huh.
And they have to go to Lubbock. And the Lubbock series, I think, they can win this. There's no question. They can win this league. And I even saw some projections they might be going to a regional at A&M. Which they want to avoid. We'd love to see that.
We'd love to see them at Olson Field at Bluebell Park. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, but why? There's no rivalry there. What are you talking about? And how about Jake McKenzie playing all nine positions?
Was that a PR stunt? What do you think?
Well, it's always
that was
a
about?
PR stunt. What are you trying to get him ready?
I know if I'm Rio Grande Valley, I'd have been throwing at him the whole time. It's like you're trying to get on the sports center top 10. What about
that,
us? You're not
that,
playing against
they do that
us.
In the major leagues from time to time. You got to have some fun in baseball.
Yeah, so. Greg Swindell, I know, in some alumni games, has tried to play almost every position because, you know, he's just silly like that. But
right.
It was just strange to know that it was happening before the game. You know, our photo people were talking about it, and Danny Davis was talking about it, so they knew going in that he was going to try to do it.
And they did get some national play out of that.
Yeah,
which is
wrong with that.
Which you got to work at if you want to get some national audience for college baseball.
That's nine more positions than I can play.
That's right. See, it's more fun. We're talking about baseball, real sports, not spring football. which is right up there with fake news.
We're taking shots at spring football.
I love baseball.
Let's get to Jeff McDonald. Joining us via phone in the dungeon, a friend of the podcast, San Antonio Spurs beat writer Jeff McDonald. The Spurs are down 0-2 in the Western Conference first round series. And Jeff, before we get to the game, I needed to ask, how's that rehab going in New York? Are you ever going to come back? Or are you just going to cover from New York with Kawhi?
I have a scorching case of return from injury management, so I don't know when that's going to clear up.
Hey, they've got medicine for everything now. I believe in you. So, hey, are the Spurs dead or what? Is there life in the Spurs? What do you think?
Well, I mean, they were, as far as, you know, what they could accomplish this season, they were dead the minute it became clear Kawhi Leonard was not coming back. And I guess that moment was different for basically everyone. But I think the Spurs have sort of realized, since at least the All-Star break, that he probably wasn't coming back. And at that moment, you had to alter your expectations accordingly. I mean, I think it's clear to everyone now that he's not playing in this series.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're not going to win this series. I mean, it would be something for them to win a game. So that would be like almost an accomplishment, like to get it together and just get one game in on the champs. I think that would be. I mean, it sounds silly to say when you're talking about the Spurs and the, you know, championship city and whatnot, but for them to get one game in the first round would be an actual accomplishment this year.
Well, hey, they brought it game two. They looked great that first half. I mean, but you just kind of get that feeling they got to play flawless to be in the game, don't you?
Well, and you got to make the ball go in the basket. They were 4 of 28 from 3 in that game.
That would help.
You can't beat anybody, but especially not Golden State that way. And so, and you think it'll be better than that in game three, better than 4 of 28, but I don't know how much better, because they were the fourth worst 3-point shooting team in the league this year. So there's a limit to how far you can expect that to improve, but they have to play in other areas as well as they did in game two. And they have to play, with the energy they brought in game two. I think that's what the coaching staff especially noticed was a big difference. Is they just seem more aggressive in game two, more intense, more into the game, more less put down. It seemed like in game one, they just kind of let Golden State do whatever it wanted to do, especially on defense. The Spurs could never get into their offense in game one. Game two was a little bit better. Just couldn't finish it off by putting the ball in the hole. Maybe they can put all that together and get one win in this series starting tonight.
And you know what, Jeffrey? Kawhi is the big elephant in the room, and you're closer to this than a lot of people because you've been around the organization for so many years after being a great beat writer at the University of Texas for the Express News. But is this a battle of wills? Is this a misunderstanding? Is this an ego contest? It's just so ironic to see this playing out so publicly when the Spurs are the best-run organization in sports. What's your take on it?
I think everyone's frustrated on both sides. They don't really – the Spurs are out of the loop more than they normally are with a player who's rehabbing. And they've got a couple of staffers up there in New York, but they're not really in charge of it. They're getting updates from their staffers, but they're not exactly getting up-to-the-minute updates from Kawhi's medical team. It's seems kind of cloak and dagger a little bit, and I think everyone's getting a little, because I think everyone, even Kawhi, thought he would be on the floor by now. I don't think anyone thought he was out for the year. When this first surfaced in training camp, they said, you know, he's just out for the preseason, and it seemed like kind of a precautionary thing. Everyone just assumed, no one thought he's going to miss the whole season almost. And I remember, like, it was big news when Pop said, you know, he's not playing in the season opener. Really? He's not playing the season opener? Like, everyone just assumed it was in the cards, you know? And then he didn't play until December. And then he played 9 games. And then when they shut him down in January, nobody thought he was out for the season. Pop said that night, no, he's not out for the season. Of course, that's silly. And then he started having dates in March where he thought he was going to be back. And we're going to be back on this date. No, we're not. We're going to be back on that date. No, we're not. And so I think it just got everybody frustrated. I think that's what you're seeing now, is a lot of frustration boiling over. And it, I don't know, it gets to the point where you wonder if they can put the thing back together again? And that's going to be sort of the big question of the offseason.
Yeah, it does have a Humpty Dumpty feel about it. And I remember him being on the bench. He comes back like in the middle of the season and he's on the bench and he's engaged and he's with his teammates. And you think, okay, he's going to be back soon. But then he goes away again. And now you got Pop very effusive in his praise of LaMarcus Aldridge. Oh, he does everything. He doesn't complain. He's there for his teammates. Do you think that's a subtle – was that a subtle little jab at Kawhi? Because Pop is the master psychologist.
I mean, a lot of people read it that way, and I feel like Pop almost never says something without thinking it out first. I think he planned to say exactly what he said the way he said it, and – get up to interpretation. We kind of asked him today about it. Old Tom Osborne took the bullet and literally asked Pop, "Was that a shot of Kawhi?"
And, God, I love T.O.
And didn't get, you know, got a pop, didn't get a confirmation or denial. So it's sort of hard to say, yeah, that's exactly what he meant by that. But he certainly let people read between the lines. And there's just a lot of mistrust in that situation between the Spurs and Kawhi's medical staff and the people he's got surrounding him. I really think if there was ever a way to just get Greg Popovich and Kawhi Leonard in a room and say, hey, what's going on? Like, what can we do? What's going on? I think you have a chance of working it out. I just think there's kind of a too many cooks feel right now for that really to take place.
And you wonder why that hadn't happened. I mean, it's been a year since the injury, and of all the scenarios, I mean, they've had Rod Strickland, Steven Jackson.
They've had some derelicts.
People that define malcontent. Wouldn't you think almost Kawhi would be the last person you would think would get in this kind of tiff with the team and Pop?
Yeah, you would think, but he's got some people that have his ear. He's got sort of a his uncle, Uncle Dennis Robertson, is his business manager, and he's kind of running the show there. And I think it's fair to say Uncle Dennis and the Spurs are not exactly on the same page, not exactly copacetic. And I think that's sort of what's sort of getting in the way of some stuff. And I don't want to, you know, the Kawhi team has their perspective in that he's hurt. Mm-hmm. He's been hurt. Whatever the Spurs were doing to try to rehab it didn't work. We're trying to do it on our own. Like, and from his perspective, you have to respect that. But the Spurs are just they feel sort of left out of the loop and not sure what's going on. And here's a guy we're paying $20 million, and we're not sure why he's not on the floor. And now you're going to ask us to pay him $200 million this offseason, and he's played 9 games. Like, what, you know what I mean? So there's definitely some wariness on that side of the ledger. I mean, Spurs don't know what to do or what they're going to do or how to proceed, really. I mean, this is really kind of a situation they've never faced before.
Well, what percentage would you put on it as far as them working out a deal when Kawhi comes? Is it like 50-50? Would you put it a lot lower than that?
I mean, if you'd have asked me a month ago or 2 months ago, I'd say, of course he's going to take $219 million.
Right.
Like, of course. It's in both teams' best interest to do that. The Spurs want to keep a top-five player on their roster because you're not replacing him. If you trade him, you're not getting a top-five player back. And Kawhi, you would assume, would like $219 million. I think we all would. So, you know, what's the problem? But as it's deteriorated, as he's gone so long without playing, as he's basically I don't know MIA because I know where he is, but he's basically off the grid, not, for all intents and purposes, not a part of the team. As long as that has gone on, it's deteriorated at that point. It gets to the point where it seems more likely than less that they're going to have to do something with him. I think what will happen is this summer, the two sides are going to have a big come to Jesus somewhere. And it'll be Pop and Kawhi, but there'll be others in the room, and they're going to hash something out, or they're not. And if the Spurs get the inclination that he's not going to accept, number one, I don't know that if it's a slam dunk, the Spurs are going to offer him that supermax extension.
Right.
I would have thought it was a no-brainer up until recently, but now I think there's just so much confusion and just variables that they might not offer to him. But if they do and he doesn't accept it, they're going to have to trade him probably. And it's going to happen around the time of the draft, or it's going to happen around the time of free agency. But I don't think this is a situation where he goes into he doesn't get the Supermax on July 1st and goes into next season and plays with the Spurs.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Then, I mean,
Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
And here's the thing. Jeff, you've lived in San Antonio forever. San Antonio is the most Kawhi Leonard town ever. He is low-key. He's not going to play well with
private,
the Lakers.
Aloof.
He's not a big media type guy. This is it's a quiet bedroom type. It's a big city, but it's a small market. And the Spurs, they got him on HEB commercials. That's the worst thing he has to do except dealing with guys like Jeff. And so for him to, I guess for his people, that he's going to get better than this.
You wonder where he'd be happy, Jeff.
Where else could he be happy?
Mean,
San Antonio is perfect for his mentality, I would think.
You would think. Like, it's really bizarre just how this has gone. And maybe they can put it back together. I mean, I never doubt Greg Popovich. It seems funny coming from a media person, but he's one of the best people that there is in the business. He's at his best when the situation is at its worst. And so I think you always have that kind of chance that maybe he'll pull something out, just like he did with LaMarcus last year. I mean, we all know LaMarcus was disgruntled, came and asked for a trade.
Right.
And Pop not only got him back on board, got him to sign an extension, and then got him to have a season, arguably his best professional season this year, LaMarcus. So maybe that can happen. I think the difference was, I think the Spurs realized we can't, you're not getting much return for LaMarcus Aldridge at this stage in his career. For Kawhi Leonard, you're not going to get a superstar, but I think you could trade and get a package of first-round picks and potential future superstars that might, make the sting a little less if you had to part ways with them.
And my last one, Jeff. Pop famously said he would leave when Timmy left. Timmy left, Pop's still here, and a lot of us thought, well, of course he stayed because Kawhi Leonard looks like he could be the best small forward of his generation, a great two-way player.
Franchise superstar.
A franchise superstar that you can build around. Now all of a sudden that might be not going to happen. And what you got is a nice nucleus, but LaMarcus is getting up there in years. Manu is 40. Guys, and Tony's definitely on the downside.
Manu's 40?
He's playing like he's 25.
He looks like it, doesn't he?
What do you think this does for Pop moving forward? Will he just say, you know what, I don't want to rebuild this thing, I've got my championships? Or do you think he's going to settle in and go for another couple, 3 years?
Well, he is 69, and he does have that Team USA gig coming up. So I think there was always, I don't want to say a plan, but there was a natural progression. It looked to my eyes for him to transition away from the Spurs, really on that Team USA team, which, the Olympics is 2020, but I think the run-up for that really starts the year before. So I was giving him another year or two anyway. Will he just pull the plug this summer? I don't know. I feel bad. I don't feel right speaking for Pop because I don't know what's going on in that head of his. But I feel like he doesn't want to leave it in shambles. Mm-hmm. Like he wants to be there to see it through some sort of resolution with this Kawhi thing, either, getting him re-signed and maybe making another run next year, or having to trade him but doing something with those picks and trying to put together, a future contender for whoever follows him. So I don't like to speak for Pop, but I would be surprised if he just pulls the plug this summer. Now, if you want to talk about next summer or the summer after, I think we're definitely sort of nearing that point just based on, he's up there in age anyway, and he's got that other Team USA gig, that other phase of life to sort of transition into.
And I can't imagine Pop being the problem for Kawhi. Do you?
No, Pop and Kawhi have a great relationship.
Right.
I mean, they still talk pretty much all the time. It's there's just other people in the way, sometimes speaking for Kawhi.
Sure. His
and
group.
That's kind of part of the thing, I think, if you look at it from the Spurs perspective, is we just want to deal with Kawhi, and you know, Kawhi will tell them one thing, and then, you know, a little bit later you hear something else. Well, Kawhi says this, and it's something totally different, but it's coming from a different person.
And how hilarious was the new rumor, Jeff, that, oh, Kawhi's not playing because he's a Trump supporter?
Oh, God.
Did you see that, Sid?
Don't spread fake news.
That was a fake news post that people have shared around.
And now you're putting it on your podcast. Come on. What kind of podcast is this anyway?
You had to ask, Jeff. You already know.
You got Alex Jones on next? Or
we got a call in.
Oh, my God.
And then Stormy Daniels after that. So anyway, so, well, I mean, it may be a short playoff season. So do you go to the Bahamas in a week, Jeff? Or what do you do if the Spurs always play into late June? You know how it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I might have to just hang around and I might have to go to New York and hang out and, nurse my injury rate management or whatever it's called. That was another interesting thing about the Spurs is somewhere in there on the injury reports, a couple months ago, it went from he's out with tendinopathy to out with return from injury management. It's almost like this subtle thing, we're not even putting it on there anymore. Like, we're just...
Why bother?
It's like they don't even believe he's hurt, you know?
Yeah,
that was an interesting thing they did.
I like to see him trade Kawhi to New York. He'll trade him to New York. And,
yeah, at least he wouldn't have to move. Yeah, he's already there.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the new rumor.
Well, the Spurs try to hang in tonight against the Golden State Warriors in Game 3. Me and the Duck will be there, Jeffrey. We will see you at the gym, brother, and thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
See you thanks, soon, Jeff. Jeffrey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that will do it for episode 95 of On Second Thought. We have to thank Jeff McDonald of the San Antonio Express News for joining us. For the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Sid Golden. We'll see you later.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sid and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back-to-school shopping done now at Amazon.com/back-to-school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.